Well, guys, today is our group Akashic Record session, and we as always have kind of questions that are in the back of our own minds, but we like to get to your questions first. So, Francis, do you have any questions?
We didn't even say the prayer yet.
Oh yeah, we didn't even say the prayer yet. Oh, bit of hope. Oh wow, she's slapping me on the wrist. I'm too eager to get going.
This is what happens when we get up at 4 in the morning.
I know, we were. Yeah, we had a rough night last night.
Could not sleep last night for some reason.
Yeah, and that's unusual. The last prior to that, we were sleeping the whole night, you know, maybe getting up for a bathroom maybe once and sleeping the whole night, which is really interesting. But last night was off the charts.
We got a few devices in the house and we're wondering if that's what it was. Well, one was that Lemurian plug that's supposed to dissolve all the EMFs in your home.
Yeah, and the other one was Margaret's suggestion.
Oh yeah, Margaret's little zapper. We got that. And
yeah, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but she recommended this little device, and it's got two copper little plates on the back. And the idea is that it touches your skin. You know, it can be on your under your bra strap or in your pants or your sock or whatever. And
I wouldn't put it in my pants if it were me.
Yeah, but Margaret swears by it. And so we went out and got one, and we've been trying it. And I put it on last night, and I was zapped. But it could very well be because it's zapping parasites and all kinds of negative energies and things, you know.
Bacteria.
Who knows? So anyway.
Oh, Kim.
There's Kim. Welcome back.
Hi, Kim. How you doing? Nice to see you. Beautiful.
Now. Yeah. I see all you guys.
Good for you. Glad you're here.
Great to see you back again. We missed you. You know.
Computer things that I'm like. So I'm on.
You're on.
It's finally freezing here. Or I won't say freezing, but it's 48 this morning and the high of 58 today.
Oh,
but the sun is shining, so yeah. That's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so we'll say the prayer.
Let us say the prayer to begin.
Okay. Okay, so as usual, you guys, I see a color, and today I'm looking at pure white light, and it feels very spiritual to me, it feels very clean, so we'll have to see what that's all about once we get going.
Yeah.
Lately, I've been having Ahano help me with my personal readings, so he's here with us today, commenting as well, okay?
Yeah, I've got reflections, I see lots of reflections. And I'm not sure what that means. Usually, as you guys know, these things make sense as we go through the questions and the answers. But the reflections, I think, are about the world that we see is a reflection of our own consciousness. So what's going on out there is what's going on in here. That's what I'm seeing. But I also saw some kind of star quality. Angel Rose mentioned white light. It was like a white star flashing, and I wonder what that's about as well.
I wonder if that's what happened to your brain last night.
That's probably what had me fried last night.
Anyway, okay.
Yeah. Okay, so let us start with you, Francis. Go ahead with your questions.
Okay, it's about the Bible, things that they say, and the timeline, but the new earth. It mentions the new earth and new heaven. So is that the same as what we're talking about when we're talking about consciousness and the new earth now?
Well, can you tell me what the Bible says? Because I have not read it.
Yeah, I'm not too versed in the Bible. I'm just looking at the timeline, and it shows like rapture, tribulation, return of Christ, final judgment, and like where we are. And I think we're before the rapture. But then I see this thing called the new earth and heaven. Okay. And then there's a millennium where Christ reigns.
Right.
So I don't know how the Bible fits in with our consciousness.
Okay. Well, I think we have to keep in mind that back then we were talking about people who weren't really awake and were definitely following different traditions. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they use words like tribulation and all of that because there was a big predominance of the belief in sin and guilt and all that, you know, God's judgment and all that. Okay. So that's not what we're talking about now. Because what we're talking about now is leaving that whole paradigm of judgment behind. You know, we're moving into a clean consciousness. And the cleaner we can get our consciousness, which means the cleaner we can clear up our own, let's say our own issues, right? The clearer our consciousness becomes. Because consciousness is really an unlimited field of creation. So there's no like predetermined decisions in consciousness. It's really, everything really just comes from our own beliefs and our own feelings about ourselves and about our lives thus far. So everything comes from that, you know. So you could say everything comes from our own consciousness. So when they talk about a new earth, especially, what we're looking at really is the potential to be creating a beautiful earth. And that's why Source calls it Source doesn't call it the tribulation. Source has told me it's called the great cleanse, which just means that the energies that are coming in from the cosmos are stimulating a lot of old stuff within our bodies. In other words, they're acting on our bodies. There's a lot of electrical energy in the sun, and also the Schumann resonance has increased. So all of that electrical frequency is basically bringing up anything that needs to be healed in us. Okay, anything that we need to let go of and forgive is coming up to the surface, because the new world is a world based on knowing that you're love, that you always have been love, that everybody's love, and that we stop doing this judgment thing. Okay, we stop projecting guilt onto ourselves and other people. And we go to an unlimited possibility. That's the new earth, the earth of new unlimited possibilities. And the fact that your consciousness is the consciousness of the universe. So therefore, we have a hand in creating what the new world looks like. So in other words, if I said to you, it's time to be happy, you know, what does that look like for you? You know, what are your true heart's desires? Because anything that doesn't align with that should go. Okay, we need to stop looking at things in a limited way and start looking at things in an unlimited way. And that has to do with every area of my life. Mm. I just told myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
But, you know, that's probably where I was seeing the reflection too, because I think everything in our lives is a reflection of the inner and the outer and the upper and the lower and all of that, as we know. But when you talk about the Bible, and as Angel Rose is saying, bearing in mind its origin and its changes over the years by kings and queens and authority figures and rulers and popes and all the rest of it, then we have to take into account that if that's a reflection of us, then, you know, it's time to, as Angel Rose says, to reflect on the fact that consciousness is the unlimited field of all creation. And in that place where there is only love, there is no opposite. Angel Rose has often said, actually, that there is no opposite to love, even though we think in our language that, oh, the opposite to love must be hate. Mm-hmm. But no, because in that field of love, it's not possible for hate to exist. You see? So in that way, I think, to answer your question, Francis, the Bible is reflecting, as Angel Rose said, on the time period and the consciousness of the time. and that where we are now is a new earth, new heaven, new everything, but based on love with no judgment.
Yeah, and I think too, you know, all of that stuff about the apocalypse and all this and that, mm-hmm. I won't say there's no truth to that, because in this cleanse that we're in, as you look around the earth, you see what's going on. I mean, all manner of negativity is coming up across the planet, mm-hmm. and we're still acting it out. So you could say that's part of the whole tribulation crap, but it's nothing dictated by God. What that is shows you just the degree of aberrations of our belief systems, how ridiculous they are, how we've hung on to them for thousands of years, and we're still fighting over who's right and who's wrong. Truth is that you're only met with love when you cross over from this planet. You know, you're not going to meet a judging God. You're not going to meet somebody who's going to give you a list of your quote-unquote crimes.
Yeah,
that just doesn't happen. And it's kind of like we do this to ourselves, and basically it's time for us to get over that process. Yeah. You know, it's not a process for happiness, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll just tell you, I remember when I took our St. Bridget water that we made in Ireland, and I took some of it, and I'm not a saint person per se, but it was funny because I had this vision of this big castle. And I was walking into this castle, and my thoughts as I was walking into this castle were, oh, I hope they don't kick me out because I'm not royalty. Are they going to let me in because I'm not royalty? And as I walked in this castle, St. Bridget was there, and she said to me, you could never be condemned. And that was kind of like, it went right down into my abdomen where I've had a few surgeries and things, where I had lingering guilt over some of my actions in my younger years. And she basically said, you can't be condemned. You know, you're not going to be condemned. And that was such a major healing for me. And it made me have a new appreciation for her as a goddess, princess, which is what she really was.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, but, you know, think about all the beliefs there are in the world, all the religions, mm-hmm. all the dogma. I mean, that's a lot of undoing that we have to do, okay? And we're in that process now, okay? But I will say, too, that last week, there were a few days where the energy had shifted. I woke up and I'm like, I just wanted to be introspective. I just wanted to go to this deep place in my heart and just kind of feel, because I was feeling this very powerful love coming from the universe. And I didn't quite know what to do with it, but I made a little video about it the other day. Okay, but it really, when I got close to it, it really was all about, this is the time to be happy. This is the time to be manifesting happiness, not helping the negative powers that be manifest their negative agenda, which is what they're doing. The more they can tell you about it, the more they can make you afraid of it. You use your consciousness to manifest that. And it's just time to stop. So that's a long-winded answer, Francis, to a...
It's helpful.
Yeah, good.
Yeah,
good.
And I'll continue more later.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. Okay, let's... Shirley, Janine, I'm happy to ask a question on your behalf.
You know, I would really like her to ask some questions. I know, sometime, I know. You know?
Hold on.
She doesn't have to, but, you know.
Yeah, I've got one.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. You know how they talk about the Earth being a virtual reality? Is the whole cosmos like that?
Are we in a hologram? Certainly, when I tried to locate Source, all I got was mirrors and mirrors and mirrors. Remember?
Yes.
Okay.
Great
just question. A second. Good question. That's a very good question. Okay. Well, what they're saying is really the whole universe is a universe of reflection. Like Ahano said, I mean, it really is a mirroring universe. Okay, so I would say yes to that until you get back to the source of all creation. And it's important to say that even though we have the power to create, we did not create ourselves. We did not create the universe. So we have to keep that in mind, you know. But we do manifest within the universe. So I'd say that as you go through all the different levels, you're still looking at varying degrees of creations. So in a way, I guess I'd say yes, you know, that it's all a mind projection.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I remember somebody explaining that to me one time when I asked a question about infinity. What was infinity? And the person said, well, it is infinity. But I said, how can we comprehend it? And he described it as if you were driving, like you, Shirley Janine, driving from Cambridge, Massachusetts to Florida at nighttime, right? And you know when you're driving along and your headlights are shining the next quarter of a mile ahead of you, right? So then each quarter of a mile is being manifested in front of you as you go. So if you can imagine going out into space, and you're going out, but this time you've got a little greater, stronger headlight, and it's shining the next, like, 1,000 miles ahead, perhaps, right? But so you see a star here and a galaxy there and a cosmos there and a, you know, all kinds of stuff going on. But as you keep going, you're manifesting more and manifesting more and manifesting more way out, as long as you keep manifesting with your consciousness. And that was, I found that a very superb way to help understand what infinity was. Does that make sense to you? Yeah. And so,
yes, it does.
Yeah. So to answer your question then about virtual reality, like we're on Earth, so we can see clouds and so on, and we can see a sun, and we can look at that and say, right, okay, we can accept that it's a virtual reality. But sure, I venture, like Angel Rose was saying, that the more out you go, the more you're projecting the same virtual reality all the way.
Yeah, in different dimensions, it would look different, of course.
Yes, and it would be different.
And the beings would look different. But, you know, in the Course in Miracles, Source makes a distinction between what is created and what is made. And what it basically says is, this is quote-unquote virtual reality. It doesn't use that term, but basically says, this is a world of what we have made. But the Source is very careful to say not to make it bad. Like, the Source never judges. In fact, it says that it would never judge what you made, because to do so would be to take away your creative power. So it never does that. It never diminishes what you made, but it makes a decision to say, if it's not love, it's something we've made up. Love is true creation, and that is the only thing that's true creation. Okay, but it goes on to say that since you were created by love, you are love, and you can't be anything else. You could talk yourself into being all kinds of other things, which we do, because we live in this projection of duality where we believe in good and bad and all that. Okay, but you can't really change who you are.
Right.
So that's the part I think we have to keep in mind. And so as you go through the different planets and the different dimensions, they're all versions of made-up simulations as well that the beings make. Yet I have yet to hear of a planetary system that is pure love. I mean, I suppose there may be some out there, but I do know that when you start undoing your dualistic beliefs, you do move into higher and higher dimensions of loving presence. And I think that would be what Source would call true creation.
Okay. All right, let's go to Marie. Marie, let's have your question.
Okay, well, actually, after that answer just now, I've got another question. Okay, so does this mean that we ourselves, our thoughts are projecting a new earth in front of us? Are we doing that, or is it already there?
Well, yes and yes. Okay. So how to answer that is that, yes, there is a new earth already here. Okay. But yes, we are bringing it into perception. How about that? Is that a good way to say it? Okay. I don't know what else to say about that.
No, I remember, Angel Rose, a few years ago, talking about paradise earth.
Yes.
But we didn't realize we were talking about the same thing as people are using now, new earth, right? So when she was talking about paradise earth all those years ago, what she said was that paradise earth is already here, but our perceptions don't allow us to see it because the frequency, we're not at the same frequency of love as it is.
That's right.
And that's why we can't see it. So to answer your question, Marie.
So we would imagine that the new earth would be us clearing our perception enough,
yes,
so that we can actually see,
yes, that's
what has been here all along.
Yeah. Words always fail to kind of describe that field of love, but that's exactly what it is.
That's why when we talk about the new earth, we always use words like, hopefully it'll be more loving and cooperative and all this and that.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's really what's here, what's underneath all this nonsense, which Source has showed me a few times, gives me glimpses of paradise earth right when something was in a big judgment, right? Or some big prophecy or prediction was supposed to happen. And we'd go into this collective meditation, a group of us, to try to change it, you know?
Yes.
And yet Source would basically say, don't do that because nothing's happening. You know, I mean, it's all made up by you guys, you know?
Mm.
So like, instead, undo the beliefs that you think, okay, that there's two things going on here, in other words.
Yes, right. And as an extension of that, you know how, like, you guys are asking about New Earth, and in the Akashic Records, for the longest while, we were asking about New Earth too, and Paradise Earth, both being the same thing. And there was always this, let's call it a little figment of fear there that, you know, oh God, am I going to be able to see it? Am I going to be able to
get there?
Yeah. You know? And thankfully, Angel Rose quickly recognized that fear itself is what prevents you from seeing it, you know? And thankfully, we recognize that, because when Angel Rose said, and I wrote it down, that comment about love, what was it you said? If it's not love, it's made up.
Yes.
Yeah. And that fear itself keeps the facade going, that it's out there somewhere and I'm not there yet, and therefore I must be guilty, and therefore I need forgiveness, you know? And then you're back in that whole cycle of perception again. So I think it really does talk about a frequency shift. It takes a whole mindset shift to realize that it's already here. New Earth, already here. Paradise Earth, whatever name you want to call it, already here. But it's us that has to really open up that heart and feel it and recognize it, and without guilt of any kind.
Well, I think we have to recognize that there are parts of ourselves that don't want to go to that kind of love. I mean, you know, the example I had was of my ex-husband, one of them anyway, okay, who got me really angry one day, you know, and I would slam the door and I went down to the park and I was calling him every name in the book under my tongue, and this asshole and that, you know, and I'm on the swing and I'm furious with him. And all of a sudden Source comes in and says, you made this up. And I said, what? Here, you want him to be guilty. And it was like such a shock, because I thought, you don't think that your mind is doing that kind of stuff, you know? And he goes, you know, you could choose peace instead. But in that moment, I did not want to. I was aware that I was hearing truth, but I did not want to choose peace. I wanted to be mad at him, and I wanted him to be guilty.
Yeah.
So I had to think about it it took me a half an hour or so to sit there. And finally, I said, okay, I choose peace. And when I did, no kidding you guys, the memory of what I was fighting about completely got erased from my mind. I could not recall it, no matter how hard I tried it. I'm like, I was in total peace. And I'm like, so what were we fighting about, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I walk back to the house, and he's already, he goes, do you want to talk about this? And I'm like, no, because I forgot what we were fighting about.
Tell the story also, Angel Rose, just quickly, because it all helps to understand that the answer to that question, Marie. Tell the story about Denny. Remember where he said...
Oh, my son-in-law.
Yeah.
My blessed son-in-law. He's a vet. And he was in a unit, a special unit in the Gulf War, where he had to kill women and children, okay? And that boy has never recovered. I mean, he is in such PTSD, and not only that, but physical pain. So consequently, he's addicted to painkillers. But I decided one night I was going to start sending him love every night, you know? And before I went to bed, I would just send Denny all this love. And then I had a dream, probably 5 days later, where he came to me in the dream and he goes, "Don't send me so much love, I can't handle it." And it was such a shock because it kind of woke me up and said, okay, he was really asking me, you know, don't do that because I'm not ready for it, you know? So, I mean, I had to respect his wishes, right? So I thought, oh, here I am trying to help him, but he's telling me, you're not helping me, you're making me worse,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So that was kind of a shocker too.
Which I think is also a reflection on the way religions used to go out into foreign countries and try and convert them to their religions, you know. Oh, we're here to save you, you know. We save ourselves. We're not, because people may not be ready for New Earth, you know. And it's not our responsibility to be going to try and change people's minds about anything. And it's an interesting point, you know, because people have to come upon this themselves. So that thought projection is really interesting.
I think in Denny's case, you know, he can't forgive himself for what he did. So therefore, he can't love himself the way I was sending him, you know? He's basically telling me I can't do it. So, but I mean, forgiveness still is the remedy. But it just makes the point, you know, that we all have our stuff.
So Kim, go ahead and ask your question.
The question that I had sent to you a little ways back, I'm not sure if it was asked ever, about communion in the church.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you wanted to know, was it a satanic ritual? Is that what you're asking?
Right, yeah. Okay.
All right, hang on. And I think I remember sort of saying there's two ways of looking at this, okay? And being brought up Catholic myself, you know, I decided at a particular point that I was going to meditate on the sacraments, okay, the Catholic sacraments. And when I got to communion, basically they gave me a very esoteric view of it, okay, that it really was about communing with the divine, okay, that's supposedly what the symbol of it is. The whole thing about eating the body and blood of Jesus, you know, back in the day too, when I used to meditate, one day Jesus said to me, "My blood is the scent of red roses. My blood is the scent of red roses." From that point of view, what he was telling me was that I have purified my consciousness to the point where my blood is at a higher frequency. Like, I don't know if you've ever experienced it. I have, though. But there's sometimes when, you know, when there's higher beings in the room, because it starts smelling like roses, the place does, you know? And so I understood what he was basically saying was that, so if you take the communion question in that context, Kim, where the host is a symbol of communion with God, and you take blood as Jesus's blood is something that was purified, that he's basically, is at a very high frequency, right? Or like he said, supposedly rose oil is supposed to be a very high frequency oil.
It's the highest of the essential.
Yeah, so he was basically telling me that his blood was the same frequency as red rose. So if you take that, you're not really drinking his blood like, you know, like in a satanic ritual, but you are taking in that purity. And here's another quick example, just to give you the different levels you can look at this. On a base level, yeah, you could say it was a satanic ritual, okay? On the base level of the corrupt church, yes, you could say it was a satanic ritual. But another, I was going to tell her another example of that. Oh, when I used to do psychic surgeries on people, there would be times when I would be bothered by entities. So I'd be doing surgery on somebody, and these entities would be behind my back, and they'd be going like this, my back, like to try to get me to stop. And I was never taught anything about that when I was taught that particular process. So I did ask Jesus, what do I do with these entities? And Jesus basically said to me, you have to say, by the blood of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave. Now, he didn't say, by Jesus Christ, or you have to become a born-again Christian. He said, by the blood of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave. And it worked every single time. I never had any problem since then. In fact, they couldn't even enter the room after that. So there is something about the blood of Jesus Christ that's very spiritual and very holy. However, like I say, at the base level, if you just took that particular ritual, at the base level, yeah, it is a satanic cult thing that they do. But it's not the higher aspects.
Yeah,
that's good to know, because I just, during communion, I was really been wondering that with all the stuff.
Like you don't imagine yourself actually eating Jesus's blood like they do in a ritual.
Or his flesh.
You look at it as a symbol of communion with the higher consciousness, okay?
Sure. Yeah.
There was many years ago, I think it was probably 2012, 13, around that time, we did, I suppose you could call it an Akashic Records study of all of the Christian Catholic sacraments. And we were going to turn it into...
Yeah, I don't remember them. I know. It's been a long time ago.
It's so long ago. That's right. And in fact, it's funny. I only saw it the other day, and I thought about it when you asked your question, Kim. And I think we may resurrect that, because I remember at the time we were planning on turning it into a small e-book. Or a Kindle book or something. But that was one of the questions. And I remember Angel Rose answering it at the time. So I might look that up and see if I could find it.
Yeah, one other little story I want to tell you is that years ago, too, when I would meditate with Archangel Raphael, that's another story how that angel came to me. But there was one day that I just did not feel well at all, and I went down to the living room, married to a different partner, okay? And I was sitting in my chair, and I basically had asked Raphael to help me. And literally, you guys, all of this manna came down from heaven. And what it looked like was these little white sugar crystals that came down from above, and they went into the top of my head, and they went through my whole body. And I thought to myself, now I understand what manna is. So that host is actually supposed to be manna. Okay, so just to give you an idea on that higher level of that. So if you think about that when you go, if you do go, you know, and you use it for a different purpose other than I'm going to physically eat Jesus's body and blood, it has a whole different aspect to it, okay? And even when we did those, we were making a deck of cards once called anyway, Source had told us to make this. We haven't finished them.
Gosh, we've got to resurrect so many.
I would get these images, and then Ahana would paint them. Yeah. And then they gave us a description. But the third...
Key cards.
The third card was actually called manna. Remember, Ahana?
I do, indeed.
I forgot what the picture was, but... You know, so there is something to it, okay? Spiritual food, in other words, okay?
Okay, good. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're welcome. Hi, Margaret. Do you have a question for the Akashic Records today?
I must apologize. I was your friend, Teon, ran a European group, and it was on before this, and it ran over. And there was only me and him in it.
Okay. Yes, the was European amazing. Group.
I'm the European. And I talked him to submission. Excellent. It was fabulous. Good. So thank you. But it started a bit late because I think we both struggled to get on. And it just overran, so I do apologize for being late. Number two, I love your hair. Oh. Looks really cool, Angel. And
I look like butter brown. I don't like it.
Oh no, it looks nice. It suits you. Oh, yeah. Very 20s.
It was supposed to be a little shorter. Hano said it's not short enough, you know. So yeah, we kind of got the picture a little askew with the
Well,
hairstyle.
I think it looks beautiful.
Anyway. Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Margaret.
You're welcome. Can I just say, before we start, about the Catholic Mass, there was a line in the Catholic Mass, Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed. That was the thing that stood out for me every time I went to Mass with John, because he was the Catholic I converted when we got married. And after he passed is when all my healing happened. And I think that was the request answered. And I just think it's beautiful. And I just wanted to say that. So my question is, what are the most important intentional self-care choices we can make to promote and sustain good health and strong, adaptive, positive energy within our physical bodies, especially as the evolutionary energy thing?
That's a great question. And we've been talking to so many people who have symptoms, including myself. So just a second. Well, interestingly, guys, I'm getting the same answer from Source, that if you really, truly loved yourself, you'd never be sick. So basically, I feel like it's going back to saying you have to look into any symptom you may feel is still a belief that you're guilty. Okay, so basically it's asking us, I guess we could journal about that when we experience something. Like, I have yet to journal about things that are going on with me. And in the back of my mind, I'm aware that I have to. So it's basically saying, yeah, it's really all about self-love and the belief that you're innocent. And basically any form of sickness is a belief in punishment on some level. Okay, so it always causes us not to go looking outside ourselves for solutions, because they're just band-aids. They're just more of the illusion. Even though I suppose they can be beneficial if you believe in them temporarily, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like really the intention is to know how much we're loved. It would be the intention. The intention would be to love ourselves more, be able to love ourselves more and understand that we're truly loved.
All the little intentions are the little footsteps on the way towards doing the whole global self-love thing, kind of, sort of.
Yes.
Yeah, like, for example, this is me, not anybody else. You know, we went ahead and we bought your little zapper, Margaret, right? And you would laugh at Ahano because he put it under his tailbone last night.
Oh, God.
That was funny. All of a sudden, he was buzzing.
I couldn't sleep last night.
All of a sudden, Margaret, he's seeing all these sparks. All these sparks going off in his mind, you know?
Yeah. Like, oh, my God. It was like a Halloween bonfire. The sparks were going off in every direction on my head.
Yeah, but neither of us could sleep last night. We both had too much energy, so we got up at 4.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I put it on my belly this morning. And I'm telling you, I don't know what happened, but even after a few minutes, it went over to my liver, and it caused the worst pain. And it still hasn't gone away. So I put it down and I thought, okay, I'll do that later. But I certainly am not somebody who could keep that on my body all day long. There's just no way.
Wow.
But this comes full circle, Margaret, in that these are like band-aids to us, you know. But there was something very important I was going to say about that. And that is that very often when somebody asks a question in the Akashic Records, and Angel Rose would give an answer, and it would seem to somehow collapse all the questions underneath it, because, you know, that one answer answered everything, you know. So in the same way, when you talk about the answer to your question about self-care, you know, what are the things to do and what are the things to watch out for and all of that, a lot of those all collapse underneath the one concept of pure love, you know.
Work on it. What does it take to love yourself?
Yeah, you know? but if you're not there, it's no problem at all to work on those lower levels, those steps to get there and bring in that understanding. So in that way, there's no judgment about anything, you know, because somebody might say, oh, you have to exercise and you have to use light therapy and you have to use sound therapy and all this. And great, absolutely wonderful to all of those. But
it doesn't correct the core.
The core issue is one of pure love. That's
the and also Source takes away the whole judgment about, is it bad to have a body? Okay. In other words, you know, do we have this body that separates us from God, and is that really bad? The Source would basically say, nothing you made is bad, but it does depend how you use it in terms of what happens. So basically it says, you know, use the body to bring heaven to earth. You know, use the body to heal the perception that you're not loved. Okay, yeah. So, I mean, it's a biggie, but, you know, it requires some self-reflection and some journaling and really inquiring into why don't you believe that about yourself. Because I still have problems with it today. You know, I'm on insulin. It's made me gain weight. And so I'm like in judgment of the fact that I've gained 20 pounds since I'm on this stupid new insulin they put me on. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. We all do it. Okay, but yeah. You know, so let me just say this too. I know we're going on, but we will just continue. We have mentioned the book Busting Loose from the Money Game to you guys. And I'm going to mention it again because that book, it's not just about money. In fact, it's less about money than it is about everything. And this guy basically just poo-poos every single way we do things on earth, all our belief systems and even our belief systems about money, how we think we have to make money, what we have to do to make money. He just poo-poos it all. He poo-poos the food. He poo-poos all those beliefs and says, look it, the truth is you're connected to the unlimited power of the universe. And if when you get upset over something, if you could just sit with yourself and let yourself feel it deeply. In other words, just if you're whatever upset you sit there with it and you just let yourself feel it and then say to yourself, but this isn't real. I've made this up. It's not real. Nothing is happening here that's real. And then he said, obviously you come to this place, the more you do that, the more you can do that with yourself, suddenly you find yourself more connected. Like things start happening directly from the cosmic field to you. You know, things just start improving. He said some things with him took him a few years to undo, but he kept working with the process. Like every time he got upset, every time he had a fear, and he'd sit with it, just basically feel it and say to himself, oh, but I'm making this up. Because he's of the perception that we come into a body to prove how limited we are. And he's basically saying, so you have to undo every belief you have that you're limited. Because it's not the truth. And Source would agree with that. It wouldn't put it in those terms, but it's a joy to listen to that book, actually, isn't it?
It is a joy.
We're on our second time around.
Yeah, it's very liberating. cool. Okay, hope that answers that for you, Margaret.
Thank you.
Normally, we would have time to get a second question in for everyone, but I don't think we will, because I want to ask a question here, too.
Okay.
And that's going to take us up to the top of the hour. But so see if you can squeeze this one in for me. The last few weeks, a lot of the readings that we've been doing are from people who feel lost. They use that word, you know, I feel lost. I don't have a sense of purpose. I don't know what my next move is. Those kinds of questions. And so my question for the records is, when people feel lost, what is really going on? And I think we may have already answered it, but is there something more you'd want to say about that, Angelos?
Okay. And also, when we wrote that question about what is purpose? Didn't I put that down there too?
Yes.
What is true purpose?
Yeah.
I immediately heard Source say it's happiness. If you're doing things that aren't bringing happiness, it's not your purpose. Okay. Your purpose is happiness, period. Okay. All right. So the question is when they feel lost. Okay. Just a second. Well, Source is basically saying that comes from having no true sense of identity. Okay, so when you know who you are, okay, you're never lost. You never feel lost. Okay, lost is that you have no sense of identity. Or the sense of identity that you have is not based on anything true.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't keep trying to build up a false sense of self because it's not going to get you anywhere. You can't win that game, in other words.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I can identify with that because there was one time. It was soon enough after my first baby died, and I was very depressed about the whole thing. Of course, I was recognizing that I was going through these different phases, anger and judgment and loss, and a loss of expectation was a big one for me. But I remember being so depressed that somebody said, look, you should go and see a psychologist. And I did. I went to, and of course, mainstream professional, much like the doctors and nurses, completely brainwashed. This guy told me, he said, ah, it's easy. You're suffering from depression. Here, take this pill and everything will be sorted, right? So I felt very relieved about that at the time. In fact, I went back, a bunch of my buddies were drinking beer in the pub and I went in and had a few beers with them and I was delighted with myself. I said, I've solved the problem. I know what's wrong with me. I'm suffering from depression. You see? And I was genuinely thrilled about it. But I quickly figured out why. It's because when we get pigeonholed in one thing or another, that's our identity. So this guy had created a lovely identity for me that said, you know, you're suffering from depression and here's the solution. Take these chemicals and it'll sort everything out for you. Of course,
it'll make you go to sleep.
It'll make you go to sleep and you'll never solve the true issue that's going on. But that's fine as far as he was concerned. But my point there is about the identity. And a lot of people, like if you ask them, you know, who are you? They'll say, oh, I'm a solicitor, I'm a barrister, I'm a train driver, I'm a bus driver, I'm a pilot, whatever. And these are everything, are all identities. And in that way, I think your answer is absolutely right, Angel, was about no identity. Because in some ways, what I saw when you asked with the question, what I saw was like flowers that have cut flowers that have no roots. And they look lovely. You know, you take a rose, and we do have some here. You take a rose and that's cut. It has an identity, you know, it's beautiful, still has a fragrance and all of that, but like it's going nowhere. It has no roots, you know. And in that way, I think
it's bringing me happiness, though.
But it's also temporary, you know. I mean? Yes, it's going to die in a short. So that feeling of loss that people are talking about, it is, yes, that they have no identity and that they have no roots.
And they're looking for a way to build one.
Looking for ways to build it.
You know, build an identity that has a meaning, or build an identity that might give me some self-worth, for example.
Or move them along the way, as Margaret talked about these stepping stones. Move them along the way with the stepping stones so that they come into a realization of the bigger picture. So, yeah, it can be helpful in that way. Okay, we do have a couple of minutes left. Is there anybody who wants to squeeze in a question real quick? I see Frances nodding there.
Go ahead, Frances.
Okay, just out of curiosity with, you know, what you talked about, the biblical thing, that we're in a matrix. So is Jesus coming? And if he is, when and where, how? Is he going to appear to the whole world? I mean, I'm just curious.
He's not coming in the way that the Bible makes you think he's coming. In other words, there's not going to be any being that appears in the sky or that comes down to earth. And what I heard from him when you asked me is that he appears within us every day. Okay, so in other words, we need to stop waiting for a savior. Okay, in other words, we're the savior and Jesus is in us. And also, I will say, you know, Jesus is easy to access, okay, because I've had times in my life where I've been given visions of Jesus, or Jesus has come to me or answered a question. So that being is not far away. It's not off somewhere that he's going to arrive at a particular moment and save us. Saving us is what we've already spoken about today. And you can implore Jesus's help in helping you understand what real love is, so you can promote your own healing. And then that way you become a being like Jesus, in the sense of you can love like Jesus, okay, which is really the answer.
Some people say actually that was one of the reasons that Jesus came to earth, was to put that blood into the genetic line,
the
DNA. And in that way, we all have the potential to be like Jesus, because it's in our basic DNA structure. But the way I understood that answer, Francis, was that there is such a thing as Christ consciousness. And when you say, you know, is Jesus coming? I feel it is the awareness of Christ consciousness that's coming to us, as opposed to an individual guy, a character, you know, a person, a man. I think it's a frequency of Christ consciousness. And when I say that, that makes sense too, in the light of what we've been talking about, you know, when we spoke about the new earth and so on.
What about some of the Bible stories, like Noah, the whale story, the swallowed, what's his name?
Oh, the whale, yeah.
Are those just analogies or principles or what?
Yeah, a lot of them are stories. Not to say that there's not some factual history in the Bible, because there is. But it's a mixed bag. I think we've said
parables,
this before, too.
Them parables, yeah.
That a lot of them are stories to teach a lesson or teach a principle. Okay. So it can be a great book if you're looking at it like that, you know, in terms of if the whole goal is for me to cement my communion with God and evolve as a being of love. And I can read those stories as metaphors that teach me how to do that. Okay.
And you could do the same with the Quran or any sacred text in the same way.
You know, when I first started meditating years ago, I would wait till my kids were asleep. They were babies at the time. And they would take their naps, and I'd go in my bedroom and I'd lay down on my bed. I didn't sit in any lotus position. I laid down on my bed and I basically just asked my higher self to teach me. Okay, now I waited. At that time, I didn't have any what I would call psychic abilities per se. And I would lay there and wait. And it took 2 weeks. I mean, the first thing I saw was a color, let's just say. And then it went from colors to symbols, like a chalice would appear or another symbol would appear, to the point where I realized I had to go get a dictionary of same symbols to look up what those meant so I could put my little story together. And then it was only after maybe a month where I started getting telepathic communication. Okay, but I had to kind of build up to it, but symbols was a big part of it, you know, so you kind of have to look at. Well, Source would basically say we live in a symbolic universe, you know, and it's the same with when I was taught how to analyze dreams, is that you really have to realize that everything in a dream is you. All the sequences, you, who you meet is you, where you are, all of it is you. And I used to analyze dreams. It would take me hours sometimes, but especially if I had one that I thought was disturbing, I would analyze it. And by the time I got done analyzing the meanings, it turned out it was a pretty important message that wasn't negative at all. Okay. So like I would never go to a dream book and buy a dream book that said, oh, this means this and this, because it's not true for you. Like symbols are true for you, whatever they mean to you. So it's the same thing when you go through anything in life. You got to ask yourself, what does this mean to me? Okay, in order to get to the root of what you believe about something and in order to shift it. It's like Margaret Wintian, basically he talks about you have to make a new pattern in the universe and you do that from the causal level. That's what he's saying. You have to put a new imprint in the field. It's the same thing when you journal and you see something for what it is and you make a new definition about it. You're putting a new pattern in the field. Okay, but it just sort of goes to show you how unlimited you are in terms of your imagination and what it can do. So I hope that helps. But, you know, long, long time ago, I remember reading parts of the Bible. Okay, no, I never studied it like some people do. But at the time in my journey, it did teach me a lot of esoteric principles. But you have to be able to look at it in terms of what is it teaching you. Or what is it saying about, what is it saying to you about the purification of your ego, for example, okay? What is it saying to you about your false identity that we grow up making for ourselves, okay? So I hope that's helpful to some degree anyway.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Yeah. Anybody want to squeeze in a quick question there? Kim, You're itching to ask one.
Do humans or all humans have parallel lives, multiple parallel lives going? And if so, do we need to reconcile that for our consciousness?
Source is saying you have unlimited lives in many, many dimensions. And in fact, one time when, you know, we were all hung up in that we're moving to the fifth dimension, I asked Source about it, and it kind of laughed and said, why would you limit yourself to five dimensions when there's millions of dimensions? So, yes, we do have parallel lives. We have lives in all kinds of other multi-universes. And no, you don't have to reconcile them. You have enough on your plate to be able to come to peace with being on Earth, okay? As Source used to say to me, you don't leave Earth until you master Earth. And the way you master Earth is you have to stop believing in the duality that's here. Especially if you can imagine you can come down to such a density, because other dimensions aren't this dense. And now you're kind of in this positive-negative interplay. So how do you balance that? How do you master that? You know, you have to take all the judgment out of it, okay?
All right. Well, let me just pick out a couple of points that Angel Rose mentioned in answer to your questions, which all have been superb, by the way. In the beginning, Francis was talking about the new earth and the new heaven and so on. And Angel Rose said that consciousness is the unlimited field of creation. And she went on to say that our consciousness is the consciousness of the universe. And as part of that same conversation, she told a story about Saint Bridget, where she found you could never be condemned, meaning nobody could ever be condemned.
Well, that paradise earth was here already.
And that paradise earth was here already. Shirley's question about the earth and the cosmos and virtual reality and so on, that we're in a universe of reflection. And what is created is not made, which is a great lesson in the Course in Miracles. But it's not to make anything bad. She went on to say, if it's not love, it's made up. And that we live in a symbolic universe. She also said, in connection to Kim's questions about the church and satanic rituals and all of that, my blood is the scent of red roses, in connection with Jesus. And then she also gave us a little command, I suppose you could call it, that I find very powerful. By the blood of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave if you felt you were being hassled or harassed by entities of any kind. She also said that it's not a bad thing to have a body. Nothing you made is bad, but everything depends on how you use it. And then there was a couple more points came up in the second round of things that...
Well, better way to say that instead of how you use it is, what do you use it for? In other words, you're using it to realize more love, or are you using it to magnify the duality?
Perpetuate the guilt, yeah. Yeah, interesting, yeah.
How you, in that way.
Yeah. So the final point I have is, when you were asking about parallel lives, Kim, and dimensional, moving between dimensions and so on. And Angel Rose said, a message from Source was, why would you limit yourselves to five dimensions when there are unlimited dimensions? And then...
And you have presences in all of them, is what it said.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Because we'd be here forever, Kim, for an eternity, trying to undo all that, okay?
Yeah. And then you don't leave Earth until you have mastered Earth. And that actually has come up with us for a number of times in the past, where people have, you know, wanted and desired that this is their last lifetime.
I want to come back.
Their last go around, yeah. They didn't want to be on Earth again and so on. And it can be quite a shock to hear, you don't leave Earth until you have mastered Earth. But its point is valid, because love is just as much here as it is anywhere. If you haven't mastered it, then you'll continue to be engaged with it. So that does bring us to the end of the session today, guys. Thanks again for all those wonderful questions.
Great questions.
Yeah, it's only from those questions that Angel Rose can tap into those answers from the Akashic Records. And we really appreciate you being here and asking the questions. Okay.
All right, we close by thanking Lord Christ and we seek solace in the universal record for their information.
And we say amen, amen, amen.
Remember, your purpose is happiness.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Love.
Thank you.
Again soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Love you. Love you all.
Bye-bye.